Michael Eisner is arrogant. We don't want to fall into the same trap. Roy steps in at this point. Though he still prefers to let others do the talking, he has overcome some of his aversion to public speaking as the campaign has progressed. His reticence, coupled with the Disney name, seems to lend a certain gravitas to his words when he does speak, and the room falls silent as he begins. "Thank you," he says. "I'm glad to talk about the creative part. We are a company whose roots are completely in the creative end of the world. We were a little studio that just made animated films. There was nothing there but creative people. I grew up in this atmosphere. The company needs to trust its creative employees. An obvious and egregious example of what's gone wrong is the Pixar relationship. Steve Jobs finally said, 'I can't deal with this man anymore.' The party line is, the company was amazed. But in fact, the relationship has been going sour the last 6 or 7 years. It should never have gotten to the point where Steve Jobs says, 'I will not deal with this company as long as Michael Eisner is chief executive.' Another area," Roy continues, "is our parks. If you've been there in recent years, you will have noticed the lack of maintenance, the fewer number of characters on the streets. The cast members have been pared back unmercifully. Their hours have been cut, benefits taken away. That gets reflected in their attitude toward the guests. That's just a couple of examples of the way the company is being run. You start fixing this right away." "How do you respond to the Wall Street Journal article?" someone asks, referring to an article headlined, "Disney Dissidents Didn't Block Moves They Now Criticize." Gold answers, "It's totally unfair. It is an attempt to demean us. This company has a history, when pressed about its performance, to call people names. Jeffrey Katzenberg was a midget. Steve Jobs is a Shiite Muslim. Now it's Stanley Gold and his client. Yes, we were a party to some of the decisions," Gold concedes. "We tried to give management the benefit of the doubt. We didn't want to cause a ruckus in the boardroom. Fox Family is the best example. Roy and I voted on this based on management's projections. 3 months into the deal, we asked, and they said they were behind. We said, 'Hold on, you failed to execute.' We tried to make them accountable. We said, 'Michael Eisner and Bob Iger should not get a bonus. When you have this kind of mistake, there should be no bonus. Eisner got $5 million, Bob Iger $4 million. Yes, we voted for things, but we did it on management's projections, and when they failed, we tried to make them accountable. I'm proud of our approach." After a detailed discussion of Disney's recent improved earnings, dismissed by Shamrock's Mike McConnell as not sustainable given non-recurring events like Nemo and Pirates, the amortization of rights to sports events, as well as underinvestment in the theme parks, Gold sums up, "I'd like to make a final comment on corporate governance. The company acknowledged that in the near future, Michael Eisner will end up signing an acknowledgement that he violated the securities law and will enter into a cease and desist order. This is an enormously serious business when the CEO acknowledges violations of the securities laws. I go back to ISS. All roads lead back to Michael." In December